I'm Philip from Oracle, Colorado, and you're listening to the Pro Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, hockey fans from around the world. I am Richard Cote, the producer of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. It is the second line edition of the podcast, and you know what that means. Yes, it is that fresh feeling that we have because Dr. Lou Lafredo has graced us with his presence all the way from Rio Rancho, New Mexico. Lou, how are you doing?
A little bit further south, Albuquerque. Is the new location. So it's 12 miles south.
Okay. Swing and a miss
all
on my part.
All the way south. 12 miles south to Rio. No, we're doing fine here in the land of enchantment. Had some rain and a little bit of snow and slush on the windshield today when I went out to the bank. And so it's all good.
All right. And because it is the second line edition, that means we have our favorite snarky Canadian, Jacob Doherty. Jacob, what is the feeling like in Edmonton these days?
Good. We're getting ready for playoffs.
Playoffs?
Very excited. Playoffs.
Playoffs?
Yeah. We're talking about playoffs.
Who would have thought at the beginning of the season and the start that Edmonton had, would we be sitting here and talk about the Oilers making the playoffs?
I was scared for a bit.
I mean, a lot of people knew they were going to turn that around, but like they weren't going to stay down for long, but ooh, that was a rough first few months.
Yes, indeed.
Well, listeners, if you want some things that aren't so rough, please visit our sponsor, My Custom Sports Chair. Head over to mycustomsportschair.com, enter in code PHN15 to get 15% off your purchase of a nice, smooth Adirondack chair with whatever you would like to put on it. Team logos, pictures, you name it, they will put it on that chair so you can feel great in that seat. But listeners, I don't have much of a rant this week. I got a little bit of a rant. And it has to do with the accessibility of hockey. I'm not talking about from a player standpoint. That's a whole other issue. I'm talking about a fan standpoint because this weekend, it is a guy's weekend at Casa de Cote. Emily is off celebrating, pre-celebrating her birthday, which is next week, with her best friend in Arizona. And happy we were able to send her off and so she can have a blast out there over the weekend. But here in Colorado, we are just prime to go see a hockey game. The Avs play tonight as we're recording this podcast, so I don't really have the time to make it to the game. Also, tickets are about $70 a pop to go see the Minnesota Wild. Can't really afford that if I'm taking a four-year-old. The next option is the Colorado Eagles. They're not in town. Okay, well, let's talk about DU. Well, DU's playing Colorado College. Those tickets are next to impossible to get. I guess we could go drop in on some high school hockey. It's getting really hard to be able to find affordable tickets to go watch hockey these days. And I know I'm sounding like the old man I'm becoming these days, but it was two seasons ago we could get Colorado Avalanche tickets for $25. Go sit in Mount Loud where the best fans are. And those have skyrocketed to $60 these days. Inflation. Anyways, let's talk about some happy things. Let's talk about some things going on across the pond. I think it's time for some bangers and mash. Lou, I think we can still afford these things.
Yes, we can. Bangers and mash for this week. The race has tightened at the top of the EIHL ladder. The Steelers have only an 11-point lead at the top of the ladder of the EIHL. They're coming in at 73 points. They're 36-5-1 on the season. That's Boston Bruins numbers from last season. Coming in at the second spot, also having clinched the playoff spot of the Cardiff Devils, They're coming in with 62 points at 30-11-2. The Belfast Giants, as we probably would have guessed, are in the third spot. They have 54 points, so they're nearly 20 points out of first place. And they're sitting at 25-14-4 so far this season. And the Guildford Flames actually round out the top four. They've coming in at 49 points. They have a record of 20-15-9. This isn't even a two-tier league right now. This is the Sheffield Steelers and everyone else. And it's a race, really, below that. I mean, even the two clubs that are below the line, Fife Flyers and Nottingham Panthers, are not out of the playoff race yet. There's still plenty of hockey to play. They could overtake either the Dundee Stars or the Glasgow Clan to get into the playoffs. But this season, it literally is a Sheffield Steelers and everyone else in the EIHL standing. So it's been a rough year for everybody else, but there are some competitive races going on, not only for the top four, but really for the top eight who go on to the playoffs. And soon here, we will have the Guildford Flames facing off against the Sheffield Steelers for the Challenge Cup, one of the pieces of silverware that the league awards ahead of regular season and playoff silverware. So that's the report from across the pond. Richard, back to you.
And, you know, this is the Sheffield Steelers. They're the one team who has not succumbed to the PHN podcast curse. We talk about them every second line, and they just get better and better.
Well, they did lose once.
That was the curse, I guess. That was the curse.
That's a cool off. Yeah, that's right. A cool off.
And I'm sure Sheffield loves you comparing the Steelers to the Boston Bruins of last year, because that was a great season they had, right?
Yes. We're not going to talk about what happened afterwards. Yep.
Oh, I'm sure Jacob will talk at lengths about that, but we don't have the time for that. Let's go straight into the ECHL and the standings in the East Coast Hockey League, as it used to be called. Let's take a look at the top four in the standings, starting with the Eastern Conference and the North Division. Adirondack Thunder in the number one spot with 76 points. We have the Norfolk Admirals, who we're coming back to here in just a second. They are in the second spot with 70 points, on quite a bit of a hot streak right now. The Newfoundland Growlers in the number three spot, cooling off quite a bit. They have 59 points, and the Worcester Railers in the number four spot with 54 points. Going to the South Division, we have the Greensville Swamp Rabbits in the top spot with 82 points. The Jacksonville Icemen in the number two spot with 74 points. The South Carolina Stingrays, barely treading water right now at 69 points. And the Florida Everblades rounding out your top four with 67 points. Going over to the Western Conference in the Central Division, we have the Toledo Walleye, who continue to do well in that division with 73 points. The Wheeling Nailers in the number two spot with 64 points. The Indy Fuel in the number three spot with 64 points. And the Fort Wayne Comets rounding out your top four with 61 points. All right, let's take a look at the Mountain Division. The only team to clinch a playoff spot right now is the Kansas City Mavericks. Talk about playing on a whole other level. They are still on top of that division. 86 points gets them a playoff spot. The Idaho Steelheads in the number two spot with 77 points. The Tulsa Oilers in the number three spot with 56 points. And the Allen Americans, a mere 30 points out of first place in that number four spot with 53 points. I apologize, my math, they are 33 points out of first place. Lou, let's go back to the Norfolk Admirals. Everything is clicking for them right now, and everybody associated with that with that organization's like, please don't talk about them. But we're going to talk about them, Lou. Let's see if they survive the curse. What has been going right for the Norfolk Admirals?
Well, first off, they're 9-1-0-0 over the last 10 games, which has launched, propelled them, I guess is the better way to put it, propel them all the way into the second spot there in the division, and fourth in the conference. And, you know, going through some of their stats, they've got a fair, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the Kansas City Mavericks and their scoring, you know, what we noted was balanced scoring over the top three or four. And the other thing about Kansas City was their points per game for each of the high scorers. When you look at the Admirals, who really have a history of actually pretty poor seasons, but last season they were competitive, and this season now they're really pushing up the standings. But what you notice here with the Admirals is that their scoring is balanced, but not overly impressive. There's no one guy who's really just standing out in terms of scoring. The leading goal scorer is Danny Caddick with 17 goals, 17 assists for 34 points through 48 games. That's it. That's the high mark of for the Admirals. And Timofeev has 11 goals, as I said, 11 goals, 24 assists for 35 points. Then you've got Matthew Waugh, 14 goals, 17 assists, 31 points, and he's a minus six. What's interesting is you have to go all the way down to Carson Golder, who has 15 goals, 13 assists, and is a plus 17 on the season. I'm sorry, but I don't, you know, outside of really high-powered teams, that's just not a number you see. And I point that out because I know that you and I are both, in particular, fans of plus-minus stats. To me, it's a really good indicator of what's going on a team. You know, over on the defensive scheme for Norfolk, let's see, it's Derek Louis Jean, who has a plus minus of 22, is a plus 22. Alexander McLean, Andrew McLean, excuse me, is a plus 15. So those are the defensive leaders for Norfolk. And at the goalie level, you know, this is just where it gets a little squirrely. You know, we'll talk about this again with the AHL, but in terms of who's actually starting, but Yanni Pettis has a save percentage of 0.880 through 26 games this season. The leader in terms of save percentage out of Norfolk is Thomas Milich, and I'm going to I'm going to say that's Thomas Milich. He's got a save percentage of 0.906. So they have not been spectacular all season, but they were certainly good enough early on until the last 2 weeks when, as we've been talking about, they put together a pretty good 10-game stretch going at 9-1 to get themselves into playoff position. They're about, I think there are less than 20 games to go in the ECHL. So that's not locked down considering how close their competitors are behind them. But I thought Norfolk was a good team to really talk about this week.
Yep. And thanks everybody. Everybody from Norfolk is thanking you for giving them the kiss of death for the rest of the season. So let's move on to the AHL or the American Hockey League, as the kids like to call it these days. Or do I have it the other way around? Let's talk about the top four in each division. Starting with the Atlantic Division, we have the Hershey Bears on top with 86 points. The Providence Bruins with 83 points in the number two spot. The Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins in the number three spot with 64 points. And your Hartford Wolfpack in the number four spot with 63 points. Moving on to the North Division, the Cleveland Monsters remain on top of that division with 72 points. The Syracuse Crunch in the number two spot with 69 points. The Belleville Baby Sens in the number three spot with 61 points. And the Toronto Marlies in your number four spot with 59 points. Going over to the Central Division, we have the Milwaukee Admirals in the number one spot with 73 points. The Grand Rapids Griffins in the number two spot with 63 points. The Texas Stars in the number three spot with 57 points. And the Rockford Ice Hogs playing much better recently, but still holding on to that number four spot with 55 points. Going over to the Pacific Division, the Coachella Valley Firebirds remain on top with 74 points. The Colorado Eagles making a push as of late in the number two spot with 69 points. The Tucson Roadrunners having a bit of a hard stretch with 67 points dropped to the number three spot. And the Ontario Reign in the number four spot, rounding out your top four with 64 points. Lou, you want to go over to the Colorado Eagles, 8-2-0-0 in their last 10. They are surging in the standings right now, a mere 5 points behind the Coachella Valley Firebirds. What have they gotten right as of late?
I think part of it is that they have hit a stretch of opposition that's hit the skids themselves, and the Eagles have taken advantage of it. Much like Norfolk, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to focus on the Eagles, there is not really a standout goal scorer, point gatherer, you know, as we've seen with other teams of both the AHL and ECHL. In this case, it is not much different from the Admirals in the ECHL. The leading goal scorer for the Eagles is Ricky Tute with 17 goals.
Riley Tute?
Riley? Yeah, Riley. That's it. Sorry, Riley. You know what I need to do? Hang on a minute. I am going to give myself a little boost on the font size here.
Now
I can see it better. In any event, he's got 17 goals, 18 assists for 35 points. Now, he's not the leading point getter, but he's the leading goal scorer for the Eagles so far. Leading point getter is a Brad Hunt. And thank you for that easy name. And he's a defenseman of all things, coming in at 15 goals, 29 points, 29 assists for 44 points. And it's pretty much looking at this stat sheet for the Eagles. I had to look at it twice a couple of times earlier today to make sure I didn't go back to the Admirals, because it's virtually identical all the way down, except that the double digit goal scoring goes a little bit deeper on the Eagles. Callahan Burke has 13 goals, 15 assists for 28 points through 39 games played. And this has got to be wrong. Ivan.
Oh, that is the right name.
Is it?
That is the right name. Yes.
Oh, okay.
A name so nice, he got it twice.
Okay. You know, my bad eyes. I had to take a second look. In any event, he has 12 goals and 27 points so far this season. And what you're seeing, I think, is a combination of the Eagles getting the lower half of the Pacific Division, and they are making as much progress as they can off of that lower end. You know, particularly teams like, unfortunately, one of my favorite teams in the AHL, the San Diego Gulls, and they've had a hard time this season, but that's really where the Eagles are.
Yep. Yeah. Be interesting to see how things go on. And I will be keeping a close eye on that to see if this PHN curse gets them as they continue on towards the playoffs. Hopefully not. And hopefully we have a good season out of Ivan Ivan, just because he has the best name in
my apologies to Ivan.
I believe he actually just recently signed an NHL contract.
He did, with the Colorado Avalanche, 2-year deal. They signed it, I think, on Tuesday. Yes. I ended up. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he's going to be signed on with the Avs, I think, starting next season. And then the season after, he'll be on that roster. All right. So that does it for the minor leagues. Jacob, do we have anything going on in the NHL? Anything we need to touch on?
I think today was a special day. I think today was the trade deadline.
Oh, I thought it was Friday.
Nope. It is today. Which is also Friday.
Did I just confuse you?
Yes.
Okay.
Days of the week are hard. Okay.
Yes. Today was the trade deadline, 3 p.m. Eastern. So all trades have been finalized. If you haven't gotten it in now, it ain't happening this season. We've had a few names in new places, maybe some unexpected trades. Big names going right now, Vladimir Tarasenko, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Jake Allen, Tyler Toffoli, Pat Maroon, all in with new clubs right now. I know, Jacob, you're happy about that Pat Maroon trade from Minnesota to Boston to beef up that lineup there as the Bruins try and keep pace with the Florida Panthers right now. But the Panthers also making their own moves, acquiring Vladimir Tarasenko, a big force for that team. That's this Atlantic division. It is stacked right now. It is scary.
Florida went on a shopping spree. Holy.
They had the money for it too. Like I was waiting for this to happen. And as we got 2 days out, I'm like, come on, Florida, you're going to do something. I know it. I know it. And then starting yesterday and into today, boom, there it is.
They also signed or traded for Kyle Bozo too, which will help with the depth as well. Like they've done a really good job here.
So Jacob, as you're looking over these trades over the last, really it has been just the past couple of days. I mean, we saw a couple of three team trades early last week and then everything just exploded yesterday and today. I want to get your thoughts. We kind of always do winner and loser of trades and whatnot. I want to know, in your opinion, who went the biggest? Who is all in on this season?
I would say the Vegas Golden Knights. They really just threw everything. Yeah, I mean everything that they had in this trade deadline in a lot of their acquisitions. I don't think they don't really have many draft picks anymore. They don't have many, they don't really have anything to trade with in the future. This is all, they spent a lot of money.
Go ahead, Luke.
Well, so just to add to what, Jacob, what you just said, it's not only money, it's capital. Their future capital is spent.
Exactly. They only have a single first round draft pick. That's it. In 2023.
Right.
they currently have five picks in this in the next draft. Two of which are in round seven, a sixth round pick, but they do have their first round pick and the third round pick. And that's it.
You know they're going to hold on to that one just so they can actually make a pick in the sphere as it happens in Las Vegas this year, right?
Oh yeah, Gary Bettman told them not.
they're not letting go of that pick. It doesn't matter what it is, what it's going to cost them. They're holding on to that just so they can make a pick there. As we were talking about at the beginning, right before we started recording this, Lou, you brought this point up, but. They don't have a lot of pieces to start building a future. You seem to think they're all in right now for the repeat. You think they have the best shot for a repeat, even though they have dropped a third in the Pacific Division.
Well, they are in a deep funk right now. I don't have that record in front of me over the last 10 games, but their 10 game record is just dismal at best. And what they're hoping, they will make it to the playoffs. What they're hoping for is to rekindle the season sometime in the last 20 games of the regular season and then carry something over into the playoffs. To me, this is a huge ask. You know, we'll get into it, you know, in the comparison, I think, between the East and the West. But I'm with Jacob, and I'm interested to see who your big all-in team is. But Vegas is just pushed all the chips out in the middle of the table.
I apologize, listeners. I misspoke. The Vegas Golden Knights have dropped to the fourth spot in the Pacific. They are behind the LA Kings by actually quite a decent margin. I believe it's 8 points there that they are. I was looking at Calgary's points. They're 2 points behind LA, but it may as well be 8 points of the era. They've lost 4 in a row. They're 2-7-1 in their last 10. Something needs to spark, but they also have quite a bit of a drop off to get completely out of the playoffs. That second wild card is kind of their safety net right now. I don't see them really come playoff time. I don't see them being outside the top three, but you know, who knows? LA seems to have rekindled their spirit as well.
Well, they are in the second wild card spot behind Nashville.
Nashville's 9-0-1.
Crazy.
Nashville's been on a tear recently.
Yes.
My biggest all in the team. We just talked about them a little while ago. I think Florida, they are upset about how last season ended. They kind of caught the Cinderella story, coming in, playing the number one seed Boston Bruins, and then, you know, overcoming adversity, beating the Bruins in the first round, and then going all the way to the Stanley Cup. Didn't seem like much slowed them down until they met Vegas there in the Stanley Cup. I think they had a taste of it. They figured out they're just maybe a piece or two shy of a Stanley Cup championship. So they went out. I think they went out full swing. They got the pieces they needed. Most notably, Tarasenko is going to be a major contributor for that club, who's already stacked. And I worry for the rest of the teams in the Atlantic Division right now, because that they are the team to beat right now. I think they are the team to beat right now in hockey. So that is my that is my all-in team at the trade deadline. Now the opposite of that, it could be a seller. It could be somebody who just stood pat. Lou, I'm going to start with you. Who's the team that maybe needed to make a move, but didn't really seem to move the needle for you?
New York Islanders posted all of the trade information, really when it got started on Wednesday in earnest. And I don't recall seeing the Islanders at all. In fact, they did nothing. And it seems to me they are standing pat with the club they have. And they are about 2 points out. Everyone is chasing the Philadelphia Flyers, who are probably a season ahead of where they had expected to be. And everybody is about anywhere between 2 and 4 points back of them. The Islanders still haven't had a chance, but having done nothing, that's an awful lot to put on a club, on a roster that has not performed up to any kind of expectation, and now have Patrick Waugh as a new head coach.
Yeah. It's not like they didn't have a little bit of cap space, because they do. They had some spending money, but yeah, I was going through the trades just really quickly, scanning them, and I did not see them listed on a single trade.
No.
Jacob, your thoughts. Who is the team that you think should have made a move but didn't?
I think Anaheim could have made more moves, I think, than they did. They kind of just, outside of trading Adam Henrik and Eric Cernak away, I don't think they did too much. And I don't think they really have much. I think they're a lot further away than they think they are, because they just, the Ducks are not going to be a playoff team in next 3 to 4 seasons. I think that's a fairly easy thing to say. And yet they're keeping John Gibson hostage.
Right.
And it's not,
that's a nice way to put it.
It's true. They're not retaining cap either. Like they could make a whole bunch of trades to, you know, retain cap, get a free draft pick or something. And they don't do it. And it's kind of frustrating to see. Hell, Jakob Silverberg could have gone for a decent price as well. They have these guys who, they have players who could fetch a lot of money. And there was even talk about Trevor Zegras moving on. I think we talked about that last edition. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't really do anything. They made some minor trades. Adam Henrik was sent off to Edmonton. But other than that, like...
Yeah, Frank Vetrano was the apple of New York's eye. See how I worked the Big Apple in?
Yeah, I see what you did there.
Yeah. You know what I think it is, Jacob? I think the ask was too big.
Yeah, and people were also talking about the trade with Henrik, and talking about how much Edmonton overpaid for that, and they kind of didn't really get that much, because chances are it's most likely going to be a very late first round draft pick from Edmonton, and then a very late second round pick that they have from Boston, and that's not really going to get your team out of the hole that you have right now.
No, but it might give you some assets come the draft, because have you seen the number of drafts they have coming up this year? They have 9 drafts this year. They have 2 in the first round, 2 in the second, 3 in the third.
But I'm mostly saying that the picks are going to be super late. So they're basically, the first round pick from Edmonton is effectively going to be a second.
Right. But I'm looking at the third round that they have 3 third round picks that they could draft, or that they could potentially trade with some assets to bump up to a higher draft pick.
Yes.
So, I mean, yeah, they could have gotten more for what they let go, but I don't know, late first, late second, in addition to their potentially early first, early second round picks. Anytime you get multiple picks in the first and second round, I don't think I'm terribly upset. Especially when you're a team like the Ducks, who are probably going to get one of the top 4 picks.
Yeah. I just think they could have done more, I feel like. Yeah. I can't imagine the big UFA with Silverberg. I can't imagine him wanting to stick around at age 34 on a rebuilding team.
Not necessarily sticking around. He is a UFA after the season, so.
Yeah, I just mean like him resigning before the UFA.
Yeah, I don't know. That was a little disappointing. I don't know. For me, I think it was, the St. Louis Blues, not for this season, because for them this season's a wash. They're out of it in the division. Colorado, Dallas, Winnipeg, even Nashville are just crushing that division. But I think they needed to make a move to be able to stay relevant for next season. They needed to at least get rid of some pieces and start building some assets for this upcoming draft. They were involved in one trade where they did get some assets, but not what I was hoping, and nothing that's really going to help them, you know, going forward in the upcoming draft. So to me, that was a team who needed to make a move, who didn't really do anything.
They got future considerations.
I mean, I will consider them in the future.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody else will. All right. So we've talked about teams who needed to make a move and swung for the fences. We'll see how that works out come the end of the season. We talked about teams who needed to make a move and attempted to bunt. Strike three, they're out. Now let's talk about some of the individual names. And Jacob, I want to start with you. The names that came up on, during the trade deadline, give me some of the surprises that you saw let go from any individual team.
Thomas Hertl. I was quite surprised he moved on from San Jose, especially after signing a contract.
Are you surprised he wanted to, or that they let him go?
That they let him go.
Okay. was probably some prodding there from him, being like, trade me, trade me, trade me.
Well, yeah, he's in the second year, and that's a long contract too.
Yes.
I'm surprised somebody took it.
Yeah, I'm surprised Vegas took it. Right. Of all teams. But San Jose got a pretty good haul back. David Enstrom is apparently playing quite well in the juniors right now, and they have a 2025 first round draft pick. So I think that could be pretty good for them, because Vegas is very volatile right now. And 2 years from now, we have no idea how this team is going to look, because they just trade so much.
I mean, the Sharks were a team that we kind of expected. They're getting rid of everybody of value. They are 100% in total rebuild right now. They were involved in multiple trades just as of Friday. Kaapo Kakkonen, another big name that was let go, went to the New Jersey Devils for a seventh round pick, and Vanecek went to the Sharks. You know, they took on a little bit of money there, but they got money to spare. Trade with the Calgary Flames, they end up getting a 2024 fifth round conditional pick from Chicago. They were up and down the sheet today, and I wasn't terribly surprised. But yeah, the Hertl, having Hertl go off to Vegas and have them retain as much as they did, 17%, I believe, is what they retained from his
salary.
Yes. I mean, that had to sweeten the pot for Vegas, who didn't have a whole lot of money to spend in the first place. Lou, the names you saw pop up, who caught your eye? Who was a little bit of a shock to you?
Well, we all knew Jake Guentzel was leaving Pittsburgh, so we'll leave that off to the side. The one that it wasn't a shock as much as it wasn't a shock, except when you saw it, Tyler Toffoli to the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm, yes.
So this week, the Devils fired Lindy Ruff. Then they decided to throw Timo Meier under the bus and Tyler Toffoli under the bus this week. Meier goes out and scores a hat trick the other night in a 4-1 win. It's just talk about a thumb in everyone's eye in the Tom Fitzgerald, the GM in New Jersey. But Tyler Toffoli to the Jets was huge, because, at least in my mind, because the Devils the Devils are a mess. And by shipping him up to Winnipeg, I think it puts Winnipeg into a much a higher bracket in the West. I thought that they were a strong team before, but now they get Sean Monahan from the Canadiens earlier in the trade season, and now they've got Toffoli. To me, the Jets are going to be stacked because Toffoli is now out from under, and wait for it, the cancer that is Jack Hughes in New Jersey. No one can do anything on defense in New Jersey because Luke Hughes is the little brother for Jack, and I think Jack wants Luke Hughes to be playing, and Luke Hughes needs to be sitting. The Devils' defense is just dreadful. And they brought in Jake Allen and Kaapo Kähkönen as their new goalies. I don't know what they're going to do with Schmidt, maybe put him back down to Utica in the AHL. And I don't know what they're going to do with Nico Daws. Essentially, they have four goaltenders on staff. But Toffoli going off was my big name. Because it just seemed to me if the Devils want to make a push for that playoff spot, they should have kept him.
Yeah, I don't understand. I also really like Tyler Toffoli. He's a great player. And he that's on a really cheap contract too, or he like on a really cheap deal. Like right. They didn't really get much for him. I would have expected like at least just like a conditional first. But no,
the New Jersey Devils are in complete disarray.
Yeah.
Not that I'm happy about that, even as a New Jersey native. I think that there's a problem in the locker room and, that whole people pay to watch me play that Jack Hughes did during the, whatever game that was, has gone viral, and it will not leave the New Jersey Devils alone now.
Yeah. For me, I don't know if it was necessarily a big name, but keeping an eye on the local team here in Colorado, a trade that raised an eyebrow to me was the Bowen Byram for Casey Mittelstadt. I know Colorado needed to beef up that second line. That's where they're struggling, is ever since Kadri left the team, they have been trying to fill that spot. They've needed to beef up that second line. It's been a problem ever since they won the Cup. But to give up a piece like Bowen Byram, who was, I believe, their first round pick in 2018.
Yes.
I mean, he's been a good player. He's been decent on defense. I think that the big thing that's come up, and especially in the last couple of seasons, he's kind of plagued them with penalty minutes. He has a hard time staying out of the box. And this year, Colorado has had an issue with giving up, with their penalty kill. So, I mean, it didn't seem like that was going down. He was, last season had 40, or this season he had 40 penalty minutes in 55 games. He had 38 penalty minutes last season in 42 games. I don't know if that was the nail in the coffin to make him, you know, potential trade bait, but he's now off to the team of the Buffalo Sabres, where he is going to have a long and illustrious career, like everybody who goes to the Buffalo Sabres. We thought briefly that there was going to be a great Bowen Byram, Jack Johnson reunion, and then Johnson gets shipped off from Buffalo to greener pastures. To me, that was kind of the shock here, because the feeling I got was, he was liked in the locker room. Byram was a productive member of the team. You know, I guess at this point, at the end of the day, it's, what makes sense for the team, and the way they could get a piece to fit into that second line was to part ways with Bowen Byram. So I wish him luck in Buffalo, but, kind of sad to see him go. All right. So yeah, I got big names switching jerseys. It'll be confusing to anybody who didn't pay attention to the end of the trade deadline as they fire up the games on Saturday and discover, oh, they're now playing there. Speaking of games on Saturday, Jacob, I believe we have some picks to make this week.
Yes, and last week was actually a really close, or last edition was pretty close with everyone. Lou inked out a 3-2 record, whereas Richard and I went 2-3. So it's starting, gap's starting to close just a tiny bit. So for this week, the first game we have is the Philadelphia Flyers at the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lou, I'm going to start with you.
Wow. Flyers at Tampa Bay. You know what? I have to take Tampa Bay because they are in the – they're starting to get a little desperate. So, Tampa.
Richard.
I need to go with my Philadelphia rule this year. Every time I have not picked them, it's come back to bite me. I'm going with Philly. And that is my only reason.
Who did Tampa Bay acquired?
Defenseman from...
Matt Dumba.
Yes,
they acquired Matt Dumba to hopefully, you know, bridge that gap with Sergachev out for the season. I'm hopeful that he'll be a pretty good addition for Tampa. I think he's already played a game, I think.
With Tampa?
Yeah, I think so. No, because that happened today.
Yeah.
It must have happened earlier. Okay. I thought I saw that yesterday. Anywho, there are so many trades today. So many. Next game.
Yeah.
Who are you taking?
Oh, I said I picked Tampa.
Oh, okay.
Next game, Winnipeg at Vancouver. Richard.
Oh. It's hard to pick against Vancouver this year. They are playing just lights out. But Winnipeg and their new acquisitions. Ugh, that's going to be such a good game. I can't bring it in me as the Colorado resident to go for Winnipeg, so give me Vancouver.
Okay, Lou.
I'm going to take the Jets for all the reasons we talked about before.
Yes, and for some reason, every time there's a big change on a team that Tyler Toffoli is on, he always gets has a really strong start with his new with a team, or just gets a hat trick. I remember that happened. I think when he first came to Montreal, he got a hattie in his first game. So I'm going to go Winnipeg. Okay. I think that'll be a fun game. And I think Hellebuck will stand on his head. Next one, Detroit at Vegas. Lou.
Oh, boy. The Detroit has not impressed the last two outings. Dylan Larkin is still out. I'm going to go Vegas.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of pressure on that roster to turn it around.
Richard.
Oh, both teams are just playing outstanding right now, so it's really tough to pick. Let's see. I mean, Vegas, they can't possibly lose five in a row, could they? I'm going to bet they will. I'm going Detroit. Give me that.
Okay. I keep agreeing with Lou this week. I don't know if this is the kiss of death or not.
Let's talk about how well Lou is doing this week.
Yeah, hopefully. We'll see. We'll see. I'm also picking Vegas. This is do or die time. They need to. These are going to be playoff games from here on out for Vegas. And, this is time. Let's see if their new acquisitions will pay dividends for them. Next game, Dallas Stars at the LA Kings. Richard.
Ooh. Dallas, I mean, in their last 10, they haven't played well, but they're turning it around. They've won three straight. They're really good at home, or they're really good on the road, 19-9-5. Give me Dallas.
Okay. And Lou.
Well, as Joe Bartnick likes to say, our beat writer for the Kings, the LA is his mistress team. I think of LA as my mistress team as well. There was an attitude change when Jim Hiller came in, as he still has the interim label. But he changed an awful lot in the locker room, and I think they're playing better. They've had a couple of stretches of, you know, maybe one or two games where they haven't played well, but the Kings are back to where they were early in the season, and so give me the Kings.
Okay. I'm actually kind of torn. But my gut is telling me Dallas, and I'm going to go pick Dallas. Just gut feeling. Last game, the Carolina Hurricanes at the New Jersey Devils. I think I know what your pick's going to be, Lou, but please tell me.
I'm sorry. It's the Canes at the Devils?
Yes.
Carolina.
Yes. Okay. Richard?
I don't know. New Jersey is under 500 at home. I could go through the numbers, but just give me the Jerks.
Yeah, I want to make it unanimous. Unfortunately, a lot of the games this Saturday were pretty there's a lot of difference in the standings, we'll say. So that's it for the picks of the week. If you'd like to follow along on Twitter or X, use the hashtag PHNPicks and follow along with our PHN Twitter account or PHN Podcast Twitter account.
All right. Parting thoughts. Jacob.
Hockey is great when there's just so many trades and so much going on. I really enjoyed this trade deadline. I like watching the shows. I miss Bob McKenzie for TSN. He was always great. But yeah, it's a great deadline. Hopefully the Oilers don't play Vegas in the first round.
Okay. Lou.
So giving a shout out to Les Stockton, who is our photojournalist in the ECHL. He covers the Tulsa Oilers for us, as well as some of the other local teams, Wichita Thunder for one in ECHL. He's also our beat writer for the Dallas Stars. And the reason we're throwing a shout out to Les this week is that he just reached a milestone of shooting 1,000 games.
Wow.
For PHN. And Les is a great guy. Because of distance and all, we have yet to meet. We have had conversations, digital conversations, but Les has been there for us year in and year out, almost since we started. But he has shot 1,000 hockey games for Pro Hockey News, and thank you to Les and everybody else in the ECHL.
All right. Congratulations, Les. My parting thought, as you probably heard in the beginning rant, it can be none other than a very happy birthday to my wife, Emily. It's actually officially on Tuesday next week. She will be back from Arizona by then. We'll celebrate here properly, but always want to give her a shout out. She is a big supporter of the podcast, always has been from day one. So I want to thank her for that support and just wish her the best of birthday trips. That does it for this edition of the Pro Hockey News Podcast. Thank you to all of our sponsors, My Custom Sports Chair, Manscaped, LDE Affinity Jewelry, the Chicago Wolves Merchandise Store. Without your support, we would not be able to put this podcast on. Thank you to Lou Lafredo and Jacob Doherty. And listeners, thank you for making us a part of your routine. I will see you all next week.